This is Jeff Livingston, author of Now Is Gone. I'm here with Brian Solis, co-author of Now Is Gone. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Jeff.
How you doing, my man?
Good. Rocking and rolling.
We're going to talk today about control. Boy, this is something that kind of transcends just social media marketing. This is a big issue in any type of relationship-oriented. I think that's why it's such a big issue with social media, is because you really are dealing with human relationships.
Controlling is maybe it's more of a myth, than an edict, and that is that companies really believe that if they can, control the messages in their press release, control the distribution of that news or information, that they can in turn control how that information is perceived, digested, and then sort of, regurgitated with the rest of the market, staying, on message, as they like to say. And I think the whole point of social media is that that's just gone.
Yeah, definitely. And it's funny, I think that really the idea of message control, which is something that I was taught, I know you were taught too, and was really kind of pounded in there throughout the marketing world and then again in the agency world. I mean, it's just a mantra almost. It really is something that was relevant in the mass communications world and not so much anymore in the fractured communications world that we live in now. And that's true whether it's in a marketplace full of 200 TV channels, 200 satellite radio channels. When you have so many different diverse communities out there consuming media, you really can't dictate to them what they need or want. They're going to dictate to you what they want.
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And the point is that you got to listen, right? I mean, I think so many marketers, whether it's advertising or, web marketing or public relations, I mean, they're all just sort of trained and disciplined in the art of creating, the message, right? And the message is what those companies all subscribe to in terms of trying to control it from start to finish. If you think about it, I mean, who the hell speaks in messages anymore? Who speaks in slogans when they're trying to be serious? The power of social media is that it's put the ability for people to voice their opinions. Some can do it much louder than traditional media can today. And if you think about trying to engage those people in conversations and speaking to them in messages and slogans, I mean, how's that gonna fly?
Right, it kind of reminds me of that YouTube video, The Breakup, where the advertiser and the girlfriend, the customer, have a public breakup, and he's talking messages to her, and she's just like, "You're not listening to me, buddy." That's a classic video.
We should put a link to that in when we run this, because that is sort of the quintessential way of like how companies are approaching social media. I mean, they're still trying to control the message. They're still speaking at people, right? And they're doing it with the smile on their face the whole time.
Right. And it's funny too, because I think that video does typify what will happen as well. And that most people think that if a company engages in social media and they have a snafu, it's going to create this gigantic blogo drama and you're going to have this nightmare, which is going to end up in the newspapers and all that stuff. And I think more and more often, because there are increasingly larger numbers of corporations and organizations engaging in social media, the people just vote with their feet. They just say, "You know what? I'm turning this off. This is BS. It's corporate propaganda."
Oh, amen. Absolutely. And I think that's the thing, is that companies have to realize or wake up to the notion that they're going to lose their relationships with customers if they're not taking the time to sort of speak with them, right? And actually I had a great conversation with somebody just this last week about the whole notion of, for example, some companies are dipping their toes in the water by, having a blog. But they're turning off comments because they don't want to provide a forum for people to complain publicly, right? Then they did turn on comments, and then somebody did complain in the blog post. So then, their response was contact customer service. That was their response in the comment section,
Oh my God. Well, not everybody can be Seth Godin and get away with that number.
All right. So there's just still a larger sense of, I think companies are being pushed into social media instead of embracing it.
Right.
And they're being pushed into it by, you know, either the competition or, you know, because they're reading our blogs.
We can only hope, right?
But honestly, you know, it's either way, they're not doing it the right way, or at least they're not embracing it in the way that is the principles that are creating and driving sort of social media.
Right. Oh, absolutely. And I think the funny thing too is that when you get a negative comment, it's not this horrific moment. It should actually be celebrated, because what's happened is you have somebody that cares enough to tell you that they like your product, they want to say something to you about it because it's not exactly the way they want it, and they hope that you're listening. And it's a great opportunity to engage in a conversation with them and really build some loyalty for your brand by just saying, hey, I heard you and I think that you're right, or we're going to consider that. I mean, you don't even necessarily have to do what they tell you to if it doesn't make sense for the larger community. But what is important is that you're out there actively engaged, not hearing, listening what they're trying to tell you, and seriously, you know, analyze whether it has some value for your organization.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I think the thing about this whole notion of do not try to control the message freaks people out. I mean, you're like, what are you talking about? I mean, we drive everything in marketing by our messaging, right? I mean, we're even taught how to architect messages through pyramids and inverted pyramids. And
haven't you seen our Venn diagram here?
Exactly. To even get people to start letting go of that a little bit. And we're not saying abandon it. I mean, obviously, everybody needs to start with the whole notion of what are we doing, why it's valuable, how it's different, right? Why people should care. But it's how you roll those out, I think, is really where the opportunity for social media, you know, lies for you and building relationships with customers. And, you know, no one's saying to just spit it out and let people take it and do with it what they will. I mean, come up with valuable message propositions or value propositions, right? And bring them out to people in the channels that reach them in a way that would actually have the greatest impact for them. But be ready for that to either be challenged, be accepted, be questioned. Just be ready and listen and participate as that's rolling out. So that way you're helping sort of maybe steer or guide sort of those message points in a way that might not fall upon deaf ears and might have a greater impact.
Right. It gets back to that old Jack Trout, Al Rees book, you know, the value proposition, the unique selling proposition. But I think that the issue where companies really have that problem is that they're still inside their own little bubble. You know, they go to their corporate campus every day or their little office tower, and they talk about messages and what they think the market wants, and they're so set on that. When they get out there and they find it's something different, it's, you know, can be quite disappointing. But again, I think they really do need that information, and they really want it, even though it may be upsetting to hear it. One thing that may be helpful is it seems that, I don't know what your experience is, but when I'm out there talking with companies a lot, I see these CEOs and they seem to get it, or they understand that social media is really changing everything. But then you get to the line manager, the director of marketing, the manager of public relations, and that's really where I think heels start to get dug in, and there's a lot of fighting and a lot of fear of this change and loss of message control. Maybe we could talk a little bit about that.
You know, even here being in Silicon Valley, that there are plenty of CEOs, let's just say big companies. It's like I can tell you that the difference between the CEOs that I encounter are the startup CEOs absolutely want to be all over social media and are willing to listen to any smart advice that could come at them. In fact, they're so willing to jump in that they're doing it themselves and probably doing a lot of things incorrectly, but more open to it, right? But I can tell you that I work with a lot of, you know, old Silicon Valley companies as well, where the CEO is still not convinced that anything related to social media isn't just a collection of toys and tools to let people air their, you know, dirty laundry. And if you were to throw something like Twitter or, you know, Tumblr or even just blogs still are questioned, and that culture rolls all the way down to from VP of marketing to public relations manager to MarCom manager to the product managers. And whereas this should be sort of an opportunity, as you said, they all live in their own bubble where they're there masterminding the you know, how they're going to take over the world.
It's pinky in the brain.
Yeah, exactly. And I just going in there and talking to these guys and saying, hey, don't try to control your message, it's just probably going to fall flat, you know, within 3 seconds. And we might actually get the boot out of that office. You know, but at the end of the day, it's up to us to figure out how to make this a powerful message for these folks, right? And I'll always go back to Jen McClure, who has done her homework by documenting things in a way that matters, and is really relevant and compelling to these types of companies and the people within them. Shows them metrics, it shows them numbers, it shows them what happens when you're not participating, shows you what happens when you do. And I could tell you that being armed with information like that, you know, it's always an uphill battle, but in many cases people listen and they're willing to experiment, but it doesn't come without training everybody along the way.
Well, it's funny. I'll tell you some of my experience here in Washington. You get to the government agencies and the contractors serving the government, and we're talking big companies too. I mean, Lockheed, General Dynamics, SAIC, very large, multi-billion-dollar technology powerhouses, and it just scares them to the point where you think they're going to go running out of the room with white hair and, you know, 20 years older. It's just so against that culture. And I think that's because Washington really is the heart of command and control public relations. And I mean, think about politics. So, but what I am seeing is with these startup CEOs out in Northern Virginia, which is where a lot of the telecom companies are and where AOL came out of and UUNET and all those companies from the 90s, they seem to get it. I don't know why it is that here the PR pros are just absolutely flipping out about it, and a lot of the local PR agencies haven't adopted social media, and they are really, really fighting this. I have no understanding why.
Yeah, in fact, you know, instead of spending so much energy on pushing back, you know, maybe partner with the person who's responsible for measuring the sort of the web analytics and find out if you participate in a particular community or if your brand is discussed within a particular community, what effect is that having on your traffic? And if you're a public company, what effect it may have on the stock? But I could tell you this, that, I mean, nothing's overnight, right? Unless it blows up in a way that you just is a nightmare. You get out of it what you put into it, right?
Right.
Participating by opening up the messages so that they could become conversations. You know, I think Doc Searls said it best when he said there is no market for messages. And
Right.
I think, and if I go back to a time I spoke with you know, Phil Gomes, who is a new PR kind of guy and brings a fresh perspective to everything. We spoke at a conference in Los Angeles last year, and he sort of took that point of there is no market for messages and sort of ran through an example that I continue to refer to today. And that is, don't just embrace the don't try to control the message thing. It's embrace the whole notion that people want to hear things in a way that matters to them, right? And once you even need to think like that, you start to approach messaging in a whole different way, right? I mean, I could tell you, everybody we know probably all starts their press releases in the same way, you know, like, hey, we are a market leader bringing next generation groundbreaking paradigm shifting market disruption technology to the marketplace.
Blah 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 blah.
You know, and by the time you're done reading that entire statement, you're like, oh, what did
Right.
you what do you do? So it's partly the reason why, you know, controlling the message has soured relationships with customers. But more importantly, if you think about it, not even just social media in general, just marketing, is that controlling the message really hurts relationships on the front where you need those people such as press or bloggers to help carry the right messages out to the right people. And those guys don't even want to hear things that way. So why we continue to do it is I just can't get it.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I think too that you bring up a good point in that when we try to deliver controlled messaging to the market, people react poorly. And that's because really we're not trying to help them. And I think that that comes through in ways that we don't expect or intend. But really, when you're dealing with a reporter, where you're dealing with a speaking organization, where you're engaged in a social network, where you're just trying to give people some value-added content on your blog, you're trying to provide some sort of value to them. You're trying to help them in some way. And I always find that when I'm dealing with reporters, for example, they don't necessarily care about what your messages are, but they do care what their readership is concerned with and the larger trends that are going on in the marketplace. And so if you could take your subject matter expertise, I always tell my clients this, take your subject matter expertise and try to build a tangent to the larger trend and contribute some information that would be valuable, invariably they always grab for it. They love it. I mean, it's really catered to what they're looking to hear about and learn about and understand. And it's the same thing with any kind of vehicle where you're dealing with people. If you're talking about yourself and what you care about, it just doesn't work. But if you are contributing value, if you are thinking about how you can be of service and really help the situation, talk about the larger issues and trends that people are facing, they are invariably engaged almost immediately.
Absolutely. I mean, who knew?
Novel concept, right?
I mean, absolutely. And if you think about it, right, I mean, the companies who do this right are going to be ultimately that more successful for it. And those companies that don't are going to lose market share to the companies that get it. And trust me, customers have choices, people. They can make decisions with or without you. And you know, why wouldn't you get out there and try helping them to see the value you bring to them?
So there you go, folks. Don't control the message. This is your opportunity to engage.